The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. That noise scared the hell out of me, but I've got no control over anything on this Thursday, March 16th, 2023. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Marco Marquez. We have Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman in studio. What's up, fellas?
What's going on, guys?
Good morning.
Here's the deal. Now it's March Madness in the NCAA tournament. We all got teams we root for. Now, I know you went to a few schools, but Alabama, are you an Alabama basketball guy now? This team is the number one seed overall. Have you thrown your support behind Alabama basketball?
I cannot say I have. I'm a Creighton guy.
You're a Creighton guy.
I bet on them early in the year.
That's fine.
They did well, and then relax back there, Marco.
They're screaming on
relax,
the other end of the glass.
They did well for me early in the year, and then they kind of fell off. But I feel like they have all the pieces to be a really good tournament team.
So what would happen if Creighton got to the Elite Eight and faced Alabama? Who would you be rooting for?
Creighton.
That year in Alabama meant nothing to you then?
I was only there for like 6 months.
6 months in Alabama, nothing.
On the football team.
Right, I get it. Okay, I didn't know.
That
was a legitimate question. I didn't know.
I think I have an...
Would it go with Bowling Green or SMU or...
Not in it.
You know, I mean,
I did
like,
cheer for SMU basketball.
You're so different.
Buddy, you were wearing a K-State shirt. You went to UConn. Like, what are we talking about?
I'm going
to
support a local team.
My guy was at the Big 12 tournament, the Miller Lite Fan Fest, and he did have a K-State shirt. And if I don't want to put words in your mouth, I thought you had a good time.
I did have a good time
down there.
I mean,
it wasn't
a great game to watch,
no,
but I mean, it was...
Leading up to it, it was a good time.
To hang out with you? Yeah.
Taking
Marco?
Pictures, having fun. I didn't know where you were, Gary Dieter.
I was losing some 13-year-old kids in pickleball.
Wow.
Yeah, Nate, you want to bring that up?
You played Nate in a tournament this weekend?
Wait, what?
It was bad. I don't want to talk about it, but...
We're going to talk about it.
You brought it up. Where was this game at?
No, this was like a real tournament.
Where?
In Orlando. Well, Daytona Beach.
Like what kind of tournament? Like it's an open? Like what do
they
call
it? It was like an official...
Like kids tournament that you joined?
No, PPA, official pickleball tournament.
The old PPA, huh? Is that what it is?
Yep. You enter in at skill level. So I think we were at 3-5. And
what's 3-5 mean?
3-5 is like good, solid pickleball. It's not
probably the similar numbers like in tennis, right? Where like it goes up to 6 probably.
I think after 5-0, you're kind of a pro in pickleball. So
yeah.
I consider myself like a 4-0, but we lost to some.
How do you consider that when you lose?
Maybe I'm a Kansas City 4-0. It's a little different like everywhere you go.
The Professional Pickleball Association,
yep.
PPA,
yeah.
The professional tour in pickleball.
Yep.
Come watch and play with the world's best players as they compete for rankings, money, and more.
Yeah, but we are just on the amateur side, so it's not really any money or anything.
Well, you wouldn't have won anything anyways. You lost.
Yeah, right.
Was it close?
Yeah, it was. But, man, I told Sherm, it's hard to get up for those. I feel like it was playing like your nephew or something.
Talking trash or anything? Like, you know,
kind of like they weren't talking, but like they would get hype after good shots they made, which is like, all right, no big deal. I play with Noah Gray, the Chiefs backup tight end. And
yeah, most people know who it is.
We were just talking like back and forth while we're playing. We're like, man, this sucks. It was a lose-lose.
I mean, it wasn't a lose-lose.
It was a lose-lose.
You dominate 13-year-olds, and you win, and you move
on. Really 13? I mean, are you exaggerating?
No, they might. I feel like they might have been even younger.
Was it because
they were good.
They better athletes? Just skilled, at this?
No, I'll blame it on playing like outside in the weather. I'm used to playing at Chicken and Pickle inside, where pickleball is like, it's easy to me. But you play outside that wind with that wiffle ball. It's a whole different ball
game.
They
had to play outside,
they're
too.
They're from Florida, so.
Oh, they're used to it.
So they're, yeah.
Home field advantage, you know what I mean? Like,
they
I'm traveling from the Midwest. Nah, their dad was on the side, like, calling balls in and out. I'm like, buddy, come on. Like, we're already losing. We don't need dad on the sideline cheering against us.
It was like a red-ass dad. Was it, you know?
Nah, I mean, they were respectful, but like they were like tennis kids, so yeah. I don't know. It was tough.
We are
embarrassed. I mean, we're both 6'3", and you look over on the other side, they're like 5'5", 5'4".
Maybe you're too big.
Maybe. You know? Maybe that's a disadvantage.
Maybe it's like, you know, it's a short man sport.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know.
Sure. Might be in it.
I'll tell you.
Ah, funny,
so that's where you were. That's why you couldn't be. So people will ask, and people ask me that saw this picture. So K-State, do you have someone that, why were you wearing, who you were?
Bandwagon.
No, I mean, how are the bandwagon? Like, if anything, it'd be bandwagon, I'd be a KU fan here.
He's right about that.
What? I mean, I've got a good group of friends that I'm close to out here, and they're all K-State
fans. So out of
fans.
Respect, you're rooting for K-State.
Yeah, I like what K-State's about. I like them.
You kind of like Mizzou, too, is what you're telling me.
I do like anything other than KU, I'm going to go with pretty much around here.
This guy's unbelievable. Pick a team,
that?
Buddy.
Say what he just said.
He can't pick a team.
I mean, I've got UConn winning, beating Alabama in the final. So it's not like I have K-State winning.
All right, buddy.
See, it doesn't work as well because I thought you were going to be supporting Alabama. You're not. But you are a UConn guy, and they could be facing off against Kansas. Like, next week, we could be talking about the Sweet 16 matchup, and you think Nate's all fun and games or anything else. Then when it comes to Kansas, he'll treat you like a
yeah,
you know what
well,
I mean,
I mean
right?
Honestly, I'm gonna say this. If that's the case, then my bracket is wrong because I have KU losing to Arkansas over the weekend.
Second round,
so.
Put that one in your books.
Nate's not here. Nate. He might not be on air anymore. He might be
asleep.
Who knows? You got that, Nate?
It's a 50-50 chance. What do you say about what he's just said?
Well, I don't think that would be that big of a surprise if Arkansas beat Kansas.
Really?
I mean, Arkansas is a good team, really good. Mm. And when they're playing well, they can certainly beat Kansas. But I do have Kansas winning that game. But I have them, Sherm, losing to UConn in the Sweet 16 in my bracket.
Wow! But if that happens, we got to do some kind of on-air bet. We got to do something between Sherm
wrestling,
and Nate.
Wrestling match.
In the past, there is something. In the past, we had so.
What is it about Dieter? Always wants to get us in the cage.
Fresh meat.
Okay, every single time.
I'll just have you know in the past that Nate made a bet. Was it, who was it with? Was it Casey McDonald?
I lost the bet to Casey McDonald. I've had to wear some weird things on the show because I lost the bet to her. And lost the bet to Nick Leckie.
Was she Villanova?
She was Villanova.
Okay.
Yeah, Villanova.
So they played, and then they bet, and Villanova won, and so he had to wear her. She had a skirt, a jersey that was made to a form-fitting skirt, a dress.
Oh, wow. Do you like that, Nate?
Nate had to wear that, and it didn't seem like he had lost a bet. He was enjoying the whole thing.
I could see that.
You know?
I filled it out pretty well.
Right. And so we have to come up with something. I don't know. If this matchup happens.
Yeah, we'll come up with something.
Yeah.
I lost a bet to Nick Leckie, and it was like he was going to have to wear a Kansas basketball jersey on the show, or I was going to have to wear like a K-State football uniform. And he brought back like some punter's pants, and I had to like put on the punter's pants. That was a difficult one.
I see the look on the faces of Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman. Okay, so we've talked about the NCAA
tournament.
By the way,
just
what?
Real quick.
What?
The idea that we're like the bet would turn into a wrestling match.
Yeah.
No,
why not?
Because like when you make a bet, somebody wins and somebody loses.
Yeah.
So like.
So we're making it an even bet. You
right.
know what I mean?
The wrestling match.
The
we
bet's
would win.
Really, the bet's really not a bet. It's just a wrestling match.
You just want to have someone wrestle or fight.
Get them in singlets.
Exactly.
Headgear. Get out.
How about they open up for what's it called?
It has to be a legitimate wrestling match.
Guns and Hoses.
They have to. They're the opening match.
I don't see how that works, but
you're
in law enforcement.
Term.
Yeah, I understand that, but I don't see how that's a bet.
It's for charity, buddy.
Well, it's not a bet.
It's for charity.
I'm just being honest. People would like it. I mean, if you're asking
come
me,
come on.
I thought this was a box.
Right, yeah, but we can do anything.
You can box.
You guys can just do anything,
it's,
huh?
It's for the Safe Foundation that supports the families of fallen heroes and first responders.
And
so if I say we got something that could raise some money, they'd be in. Absolutely, they'd be in. That's all I'm saying.
Come on, Anthony.
Well, we can talk about
By the way, June 24th, and I'm going to be one of the MCs at Guns N' Roses. We would certainly like you guys to be involved in some way.
So much fun.
You know,
yeah, I'll go down.
The fights.
I'll go down and hang
out. Garrick wants you to fight, though. He doesn't want you just to be a
I'd like to see Garrick fight. Yeah, he always talks about Garrick? How great he is. I want to see him fight.
We can match you up with a firefighter or a police officer if you want to get in and throw some hands.
Yeah. A 13-year-old, maybe?
13, wow. Yeah. Bring that kid up here. Bring both of them up here.
Oh, you're hyped for that.
Down your calendar. Yeah. June 24th.
Hey, Dad, you want to ref this one,
bring,
Dad?
No, bring the dad in there, too. I got some for him.
We got lots to get through now with things that have happened in free agency. And I did four different significant players signed with other teams yesterday. But first, what I must ask you about, Mike Burton, the man who took over the fullback role that you left, is gone. He reunites with Sean Payton in Denver. Is this the end of the fullback era for Andy Reid and the Chiefs?
Yes.
Or is he just going to go out and draft one or get another one? Or is this it?
It's over with. They're extinct. I said it early in the season. That guy got used, I think I saw 6% of the time this year. So he's going to go to New Orleans. Or not New Orleans. He's going to go to Denver with Sean Payton and relive his New Orleans days and get used a little bit more. And I think Coach Reed is going to be done with the fullback. I think you saw it late in the year. They were just sticking running backs back there and doing that job.
I mean, it's not that hard. In that position, there's always been running backs and fullbacks that have done it if you actually studied the playbook. But I don't know. It's sad to see, but there is a draft coming up, and maybe they'll take someone late. Maybe there's a couple of young kids in there.
So you don't think they're going to abandon the role?
No, I think honestly. I think what that player needs to be is a dominant special teams player as well. So you can kill two birds with one stone if he's a fullback and a great special teams player. So for Burt, I mean, he was okay on special teams, but I don't think he was...
He wasn't a four-phaser.
He wasn't one of those guys that was the leader of the room. So we'll see what happens. We'll see with the draft, and who knows, maybe there's a free agent pickup somewhere that no one really is talking about that might be go under the radar or something just for a guy.
So you're saying that the role is still going to be available for a draft pick or someone else. You're saying that they move on from Burton and that's just it. They're eliminating the fullback position.
Yeah, I think they're gonna carry four tight ends on the roster, two quarterbacks, and probably five running backs.
All right, well, I mean...
No sure. More fullbacks.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you think, bud.
It's all right, buddy. I know it's a sad day for you, but...
No, it's not a sad day at all. I mean, I just... I don't know. It will be interesting to see what happens with... who knows? Maybe there's a guy comes in, he's a fullback that is just a special teams player and does that fullback role every once in a while.
You coming out of retirement?
No. Nope, I haven't gotten a phone call, so...
Would you?
No, probably not.
You said probably not.
I mean, I'd have to think about it. I'd have to think about it, you know. But no, it'd be interesting to see what they do with either the draft, late rounds, if they don't pick up a guy that might fill that role for them and is really good on special teams. There's a lot of teams that I mean, I can think about the New England Patriots. They keep Matt Slater almost every year, and all he does is special teams. So, if you've got a couple of guys like that on the team, I think there's teams starting to realize that's pretty valuable to keep a guy around just for special teams alone. So we'll see what happens.
Were you surprised they didn't keep him?
I don't know does anyone know what his contract is? I don't know
who
Bert? Like, did he?
I think he went to Denver because of his role with New Orleans,
right?
And I think they're going to use him a little bit more. I think they'll use him a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, you can. That's great, but it's like Juju. You go to New England for what? For more money?
Yes.
Or for a little bit more playing time? But it isn't the goal of playing football to win championships?
1 year, $1.3 million for Burton from the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's probably $300,000 more than the Chiefs would have offered him.
Yeah, the Chiefs will give him minimum.
League minimum for his age.
But yes, people go other places for money.
Okay, so let's start there.
I'm not that kind of guy.
That's one. He's not that kind of guy.
He's not. I'll admit it.
He's one of the. Did you have opportunities to go places for more money when you were with Kansas City?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was funny because whenever that time came, it was usually around this time, or you know, combines. Usually, a lot of the backdoor stuff gets done. There's always teams that will ask and inquire, and then it was always like, yeah, he's not leaving the Chiefs. So
they always lowball Sherm.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine, but what I'm saying is, it was just
it's not
they
though.
knew that I wasn't going anywhere. For a little bit of money.
Guy almost wins the Pro Bowl MVP and they give him a bet minimum deal. It's unbelievable. Give him a little bit of respect, like a little 1.5, 1.6, 1.7. Come on.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm.
You were happy.
We, you know, Pro Bowls, Super Bowls, you know, it's did my thing.
Let's play this. This was when they were talking about Juju Smith-Schuster joining the Patriots. They talked about this on NFL Network.
Oh, you want signings? Let's do a signing. No, hold on. We got one more signing to do. The Patriots have brought in a big-time weapon on offense. Sources tell me and my good friend Taylor Bisciotti that Juju Smith-Schuster is signing in New England. He gets a 3-year deal for $33 million, a big-time weapon for Mac Jones. This really all day today and really last night was about the Patriots versus the Kansas City Chiefs. I know he wanted to return to Kansas City. That's kind of where his heart was. The Patriots pulled at him, too. They offered more money. That helps. And plus the opportunity to kind of remake himself and rework himself and essentially start a new legacy. The opportunity to go to New England. There's a lot to like here. So they lose Jacoby Myers yesterday or whenever that was. I don't know. It feels like 100 days ago. But they land Juju Smith-Schuster today.
And really not too far off from the money that Jacoby Myers got. Several people have reported that the Chiefs were interested. It was between the Chiefs and the Patriots, and the Chiefs just didn't offer as much money. It wasn't a huge difference, but it wasn't the same guaranteed money. I believe Juju Smith-Schuster is getting 22.5 guaranteed over the first 2 years, and so he opts to go with the New England Patriots. And I'll say this, because I liked him. I thought the Chiefs were going to re-sign him. I thought he fit into the offense well and was a good guy and it appeared to be a good guy in the locker room. He had a nice second half in the Super Bowl, but you know, he gets the more money. But he goes to the Patriots, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Jets with Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry, the Pats with Mac Jones are going to be buried in last place in that division. So it really is a decision of, do I take a little bit more money, or do I stay somewhere where I can win a championship? I hate to eliminate a team in March, the Patriots aren't winning a championship. They probably aren't going to the playoffs in that division. We were just talking in the commercial break, are the Jets a Super Bowl contender if they get Aaron Rodgers? We know the Bills are at least contenders. The Dolphins look like they're contenders. They're in the playoffs there.
They're in last place in their division, and they're not going to be fighting for a wild card. I mean, I get good for him. He got more money, and I don't know.
How big of a loss is that for the Chiefs?
I mean, it depends on who they sign. I think they're either going to sign Odell or D-Hop. I think they have to at this point.
You need to settle down with that kind of talk. Trade for D-Hop or sign Odell Beckham Jr.?
I think one of the two has to happen. Yep.
This is
he's got a little twinkle in his eye. You see that twinkle in his eye?
I think I saw Odell at Chicken and Pickle last night. So.
Yeah?
Sure did. Was he here when those rumors were going on?
Did you make the reservation?
You remember that during the season?
Oh yeah.
No, he wasn't here.
Did you make the reservation?
Yeah,
for him?
Yep. He texted me, so I'll get you all taken care of, buddy.
Do you really think the Chiefs should acquire one of those two?
I think so. I think they need to.
This is going to end up on the internet.
I mean, you look at the receiver room. You have a lot of guys that are young.
Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, MVS.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily get. Really, I feel like you need one more name or one more veteran receiver. I think you're going to have to. I mean, obviously, those young guys played well at the end of the year. Last game of the year, they did well. But
Adam Thielen.
I think Adam Thielen's too old to sign. I think he's
wasted. He's done.
32. Right. I don't think he'd be the right fit for Chiefs offense. The workload that receivers are asked, I don't think he's fitting in that. I think he'd be good, but I don't think he's. I'd rather have D-Hop or Odell.
What do you say about either trading for D-Hop or signing Odell Beckham Jr., Anthony Sherman?
No idea. I mean, if Gehrig is, he's got a little twinkle in his eye. If no one can see him, but
see, I can't tell
he,
you.
He might. I don't know if he's got inside sources or he knows something. I think we all don't know. So if anyone wants to blow him up on Twitter, that'd be great and funny.
Let's dig into this. What are you over there laughing? What do you know?
I don't know anything. That's just what I think should happen. I think you look at that receiver.
You came in so confident with that statement, with a smirk on your face.
Who wouldn't be confident to sign one of those guys? How would you, look at the receiver room. They need a guy. They need one more real guy in there.
Who says these other guys aren't real? Just because you don't know their name?
Who?
The younger guys.
On the team?
Yeah.
They're not ready to be a number one receiver.
They said Tony is going to be the focus for wide receiver one this year.
Kadarius Tony.
I mean, until that guy can play a full season, full 18-game season, I don't think you could rely on somebody like that. I mean, you have to prove it. Injuries like Justin Ross.
I'm with Gehrig on that.
I think, obviously, he's got all the potential in the world, but, I mean, NFL is a long season, and being a receiver with the Chiefs is not an easy position because you're asked to have a lot of workload on you, no matter who you are. Tyreek is the perfect example of a guy that could handle the workload and work harder than everybody and stay healthy.
DJ Chark.
Nope.
I'm just putting names out there.
Yeah,
no.
I mean,
why
that'd be
say
great.
No?
It would make a splash and people would forget about Juju and
I feel
and
like
move
an Odell.
On.
I feel like an Odell contract, you can really load that thing up with incentives, get him what he wants at the end if he performs. But I feel like that's all Chiefs. I feel like that's why a lot of guys aren't signing back is I feel like their contracts are all incentive-based, and obviously nobody really wants that unless you really feel good about yourself.
Were you at his workout or something in Arizona?
No, I mean, I saw clips of it. I mean, he looks good.
Yeah.
I got a name. How Darius Slayton.
No. Giants, right? Giants?
Yeah.
No. Doesn't get me excited.
How about this one? Mecole Hardman.
Now that we're, getting back into the second wave of free agents, I feel like they have to start considering it. I mean, if you're not going to sign, I'd rather have D-Hop or Odell, but McColl, I think, is a guy right under them that he's a veteran now. I think you could rely on him to kind of take a bigger role in the offense. But it'd be interesting. I think they have to start considering it. It's getting late.
Ain't much left as far as wide receivers and free
agents. I don't think the receiving draft class is good. So that's another point that we have a lot of picks, but buddy, I don't think they have any dogs in there.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens then.
Sure will.
Okay,
I know they won't be drafting any fullbacks.
Kenny Galladay?
He had a nice block at the end of the year, but
no.
After I saw some of his practice clips, You don't want a guy like that in the locker room.
Who's that?
Galladay.
Oh yeah, he can't. He's done.
You just don't want a guy you don't want a guy being that lazy, especially with the young group of receivers.
No, you can't have that leadership in there.
Paris Campbell.
I didn't really watch him enough, but he'd be interesting.
You got anything to say over there, Bukati, or are you just going to sit there?
Well, I mean, we're talking about clubhouse or locker room presences. I mean, you want Odell in your locker room?
Yeah, I don't think he's as much of a distraction as people make it out to seem.
I think that, I mean, we talked about this before. I think there's guys that are going to come in super eager to be a part of the Chiefs that just go in there and mold to what the Chiefs are about and the way they work and the way they prepare and hold themselves. I don't think he is as bad as people think. I think he has been.
He wasn't a distraction when he was in L.A. I thought he did a good job of staying quiet.
Now you got people. What's that tweet say? Someone just tweeted out. See what he starts? What's this right there?
Yeah, no, Gehrig knows.
Gehrig Dieter knows who the Chiefs are going to target a wide receiver.
I mean, you just look at the list. Why would you not want those two guys?
Okay, so would you rather trade for D-Hop or because it's going to cost more for Odell Beckham Jr.?
I feel like Odell would fit the offense more, but D-Hop is kind of that unknown, the skills that he has. The Chiefs have never kind of had that on offense, so I feel like it might not work. Like, I don't know if he's... I feel like you have to have some speed to play for Coach Reed. And I think D-Hop is kind of towards the end of his career, later in his career. And he's obviously that 50-50 ball where he's going to catch all of them. So it'd be interesting, but I feel like Odell fits the mold of a Chiefs receiver more than D-Hop.
All right, let's. There's a lot being said right here, so we'll take a break. And Anthony Sherman has a look of disbelief, and Gary Dieter is laughing hysterically. So we'll let you know what exactly what that means when we come back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Is this the March Madness song you're looking for?
No, I think I gave him a little. I mean, I thought Marco was quick, but I guess not.
We were playing earlier for our bracketology. He know what he wants.
You know what I want.
Fired up. All right, so Juju Smith-Schuster signed to the Patriots.
There you go, Nate, I'm glad you're awake now.
Sounded like you said that under the covers or something.
I'm glad you're awake, Nate. I know you were. I mean, I was listening at, 6:05. I didn't hear your voice for a while. I thought maybe you were sleeping in or missed the show or something.
I might have.
Yeah, all right. I know when I listened to it, it was just Marco and Steven on here, and I was like, oh, I wonder if Nate's not on today.
My alarm might have gone off at 5:40 a.m., and then I realized, oh, that's mountain time.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, you know, yeah, that'll get you.
That's what happens. So
there we go.
Well, this is one shining moment.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I think this is it. But
I think you.
I'm not in the mood for it anymore.
What we were playing earlier, I think, is what he wants. But that's fine. So we talked about Juju Smith-Schuster going to New England. Garrick thinks the Chiefs need to replace him with DeAndre Hopkins or Odell Beckham Jr. You think they probably.
I wouldn't mind seeing one of those guys. I wouldn't say – I just don't know if they're going to be able to end up getting the deals done to get those guys here.
Okay. I mean, since Juju left, it's like you have to have a presence. You have to have a veteran.
Okay, a couple of other defections. Colin Saunders. See, I thought there was a good chance the Chiefs would re-sign him. He goes to the Saints, 3 years, $12 million with $8 million guaranteed. What are the Chiefs lose here? I thought he played very well in the second half of the year. And into the postseason, and he's able to get a nice contract from the Saints. Apparently, too much for the Chiefs to be in competition with. What about losing Colin Saunders?
I love Colin. Colin is an awesome teammate. You lose the locker room presence that he brings. He's just a fun, charismatic attitude to every day. You never see him in a bad mood. He knew his role and he did very good with what they gave him, but you know it does. Garrick and I were talking about this before he came on. It pays to be on a Super Bowl champion team and have a lower role, but another team values you extremely high because of the leadership and the experience that you bring to that room that they're trying to bring you into.
Garrick, your thoughts on Colin Saunders signing with the Saints?
Yeah, Sherm said it spot on. I think Chris Jones and Frank Clark. I think it's kind of like that. It's like the receiving room from last year. Like it all got broken up, and that's kind of how the D line feels right now. So it's interesting, but it's good he got paid. He deserves it. He's a guy that got better with the more that he played, and I think that was kind of what didn't really happen his first 2 years was he really wasn't playing too often. So. Like the more you play in the NFL, the more you're getting consistent game reps, the game's a little easier for you.
Okay, what about Juan Thornhill? He signs with the Browns, 3 years, $21 million, with $14 million fully guaranteed. Garrick, first, what about the loss of Juan Thornhill?
I think, what was number six his name?
Cook?
Yeah, I think he steps in and replaces Juan and does a really good job. I think anytime a rookie can play that much, like he did at the end of the year, and replace and get in and have confidence at the end of the season. I think you can rely on somebody like that to step in and fill that role pretty easy.
Yeah, they'll be fine. I'm not really concerned with that one.
That was expected.
Yeah, it was expected, I think, but it was also not a terrible deal not to take or not to bring him back. I think they can replace him pretty fairly easily. Yeah, we can move on.
So, the big news last night was Orlando Brown Jr. signing with the Cincinnati Bengals. And so first, we find out that the Chiefs were not interested in placing the franchise tag on Orlando Brown Jr. again this year. The Chiefs say that they'd be interested in maybe trying to re-sign him. But that doesn't get done, and so when we found out that they weren't going to place a tag on him, was your expectation that okay, this is it, they're just not interested, they're going to part ways, or did you think that they were going to get something done with him?
No, when they didn't tag him, I thought it was over. Like they weren't going to try to to make a deal for him at this point. Then they made another deal and got the Taylor.
Juwan Taylor.
Juwan Taylor. Yeah, I think that was already kind of expected. I think everyone realized that when they didn't tag him and try to bring him back. He didn't accept their offer last year, and I think it was probably a lot better than what they would have offered him this year. So, you know, he went to the Bengals, and at least the defensive line for us knows what will beat him on most snaps, because they get to see that every day at practice. So maybe some things they might not see on film, or teams that try it against them, they might know something a little bit better.
Like, the Chiefs have the versatility to do what they want if they draft a left tackle or bring in a different left tackle. But as of right now, they say Juwan Taylor, he's going to be the left tackle moving over from right tackle. Any concern about that?
No. I mean, I think they've done it the last three left tackles they've had. They did it with Fish. Fish first started, and first year he played right tackle, and then they moved over to left tackle with him, and then they did the same thing to Orlando Brown. So I think they've done, you know, I think they're obviously know what they're looking for tackles that can do that and are able to make that switch. And with Coach Heck and Coach Reed, they'll know what they can and can't do with those guys, and they'll be fine.
Okay, so reportedly last July, the Chiefs offered 6 years, $139 million, but a lot of that was fluff and wasn't, you know, the real money he was getting. $31 million signing bonus, $38 million fully guaranteed. He was going to get $18.2 million per year in his first 5 years. Whatever. But it's comparable to the guaranteed money he's getting with this deal. 4 years, $64 million, $31 million signing bonus. He's getting $43.5 million fully guaranteed. A bunch of it up front, the upfront real money, which is something that's one of the big reasons why he didn't sign that deal mm-hmm. with the Chiefs. So if you're Orlando Brown, if you're his agent, are you, like, how do you feel? Like, oh, we should have signed that deal with the Chiefs. Like, you know what?
I feel like he's betting on himself again, and I think it'll pay off. I mean, I think he's a good player and continues to get better as years go on. I mean, it was only his second year playing left tackle in the NFL, and obviously that's probably the hardest position in the NFL. So I think he'll continue to get better. You have a good team you're going to. It's not like you're going to a scrub team. So it's always good for him. I liked Orlando as a person, so I'm cheering for him. And like you said, I think he took that deal because of all the money up front. 31 signing bonus is huge, and I think he'll be there for 2 years and try to get a new contract.
Yeah, I mean, for the fans that don't know, a lot of it, when you look at all these big contracts that people are signing, what you really want to look at is just the guaranteed money, because that's the only thing that player truly has in that deal. Yeah, he might sign for $1 billion, but none of it's guaranteed, and that deal is not very good.
$42.3 million through year two is the guaranteed money there.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, you want to see that, as I know for all, you know, agents and stuff, they're looking from, you know, a little over, you know, try to get the half for some of these, like for some, you know, you try to get half of guaranteed money, because other than that, you just kind of become a cap casualty when you don't have any guaranteed money, and you might make $15 million, but it's none of it's guaranteed. They have an easier way to be like, hey, we're just going to cut ties and not pay you. So
you didn't seem, when we asked you about this a couple weeks ago, You seem totally fine with it. Just let them walk. They'll be fine without him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still on that stance. I think they made a great pickup with the guy they brought in. Yeah, I think that you could have found a guy out there that gave you what he did. I mean, he wasn't like that dude that was out there just choke slamming people and shutting that left side down, especially in the run game. If you watched the games, that he wasn't that bulldozer that you want at left tackle.
You agree?
Yeah, I would agree. I just really like Orlando, so I'll just...
Right.
I mean, I'm cheering for him.
Yeah, he was good on ESPN yesterday. Yeah, he was on the different...
He's very charismatic.
Yeah.
He's good with the microphone in front of his face.
That's good, but he plays football.
Buddy, listen, I wonder if they gave him the same contract as Taylor, if they offered him that. Because would you rather have him or Orlando?
I think you know what Orlando has, and I don't, in my opinion, I don't see much changing from what he's done the last two years.
I think there's a lot of value in having guys that are familiar with each other, especially offensive linemen, keeping those guys together, which if Orlando would have came back, that whole
line would have
been the same. I feel like,
if anything, the front three are – the middle three are the most important. They're the ones that are doing the most communication with fronts and blitz protection and that kind of stuff. I feel like if you keep those three together – you can, you know, mix and match the tackles a little bit. They're not doing as much communicating.
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, if you could keep them, if
remember,
you could keep
you're
them
a
all
receiver.
Together.
You're a receiver, so you were out wide. You just stared at the ball and.
Buddy, what do you mean? I was in there putting my nose in there, smacking linebackers every play.
Can Lucas Niang be the right tackle, or do they need to look elsewhere? You think?
I mean, he was, wasn't he?
Marco doesn't. Marco doesn't think so.
Marco,
what's that?
Lucas Niang. It doesn't seem like.
No, that's Prince Tega Winago's position, my man. That's
I mean,
Prince's.
Wasn't Lucas starting and then he got hurt and then Wiley stepped in? I mean, buddy, yeah, he got drafted for a reason. Like, this is third year in the NFL. He's going to be, he'll be solid.
I think he'll be able to do it. Obviously, I mean, remember, the Chiefs and the people in that building know a lot of stuff that we don't know out here as the general public, and what the abilities are of these guys and what they're comfortable with and what they see day in and day out at practice, weight room, film study, all that stuff will come into effect for someone that's been in the same system for 3 years, same coaches, same understanding of what they're looking for in a right tackle.
Nate Bucchetti, a lot has been said here. Any reaction to any of these players leaving the Chiefs and the discussion from Anthony Sherman and Gary Dieter?
Well, just a couple of thoughts on when you were talking about whether or not Orlando Brown Jr. made the right move by turning that contract down. We have to factor in that he did make $16.6 million last year with the Chiefs. Then he goes and gets this contract on top of that. So it seems like he played things pretty well. That's a pretty good, you know, one-year deal for $16 million to make that money and then still go get a good guaranteed contract. You know, I seems like it's worked out all right for him. But I think for the Chiefs, it seems to me like they feel like they've got a guy that fits more what they want to do. The Chiefs are going to throw the ball. They're going to be a passing team as long as Andy Reid's the coach and Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback. You want a left tackle who's really good at pass protection. And Orlando Brown was better at run blocking than pass blocking. And Taylor, by all accounts, is far better at pass blocking than he is at run blocking. So, to me, they got more of the kind of guy that they want. Like, Orlando Brown Jr. was good enough for them to win a Super Bowl with him, which is great, and I think he should always be appreciated as a Chief for that. But for the Chiefs, they got a young guy who fits more what they want to do, and I think that everybody ends up kind of walking away happy from the whole thing.
I would agree with that, for sure.
Gary Dieter, where should people go watch games today? They're looking for a great spot to watch March Madness.
If you need a great spot, Chicken and Pickle in Overland Park, DraftKings will be there. It is 21 and older in the Be Amazing room. It'll be pretty cool setup.
So you might be able to win a pickleball.
Right, so those kids that beat you down in Florida, they couldn't come to the same thing.
No, that's why we made it 21 and older, so I don't have to run into those guys anymore. But, yeah, it's an awesome setup. I'll be up there from probably 11 to 4-ish watching the early slate of games and having a good time.
How far do you have Kansas going in your bracket?
Right? I haven't made a bracket. I'll probably, when I get up to Chicken and Pickle today, I'll probably make a quick one.
I mean, I guess.
Buddy, it takes
why don't we make one right now?
Buddy, don't put that pressure on me.
We can get brackets and we can have them fill one out.
Nope.
You can get lead, but we got an office bracket contest you want to get in.
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope.
The game started at 11:15. When are you going to fill this bracket out?
It's only, what time is it?
I don't know.
8:52.
I
mean, Nate, what time is it? What time is it over there, buddy?
I think it's 7:52.
Nate thinks
here,
it's
but I'm
noon
sure.
Right now.
Wake up.
No,
let's go.
No,
don't ask him.
He thinks it's the start of the show.
I think
hello?
These hours are starting to fly by. I think we need to go 2 hours in here on
That's
Thursdays.
Fine.
Oh, boy.
Three or four,
you
whatever you want to do.
Guys can stick around for bracketology. They can learn a little bracketology from us.
Oh, really? Talk to John Sunvold at 9:05. So, and you have Kansas losing to Arkansas.
I do.
And then how far do you have UConn going?
Winning the whole thing.
Winning the whole thing.
Yeah, they're beating Alabama.
Beating your Alabama Crimson Tide in the finals, even though you don't like
Alabama.
I might
have to wear my Letterman jacket.
You have an Alabama Letterman jacket?
Letterman jacket and a class ring.
What do you think about that? You had a class ring, too.
How'd you get a Letterman jacket?
I have no idea. Well, because I lettered, because I played.
Oh, okay.
But I have a class ring, which I thought was
so. You don't have any other. You just have the jacket. No pins on it, right?
The jacket's sick, though. The jacket's
but no
sick.
Pins on no, the jacket.
Do you have a UConn Letterman jacket?
Oh, yeah.
Once you have a class ring?
No way.
I have a bowl game ring, okay. Big East championship ring.
Big East
championship
ring. That's not what we said, class ring, buddy. Did you graduate?
No, I didn't graduate.
Stupid.
You can't say that. You can't say that, dude. That's not nice.
You can say that one.
You can say
Michael, yeah, Michael told us what we can't say.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean
that got personal. That did
something. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. I'm doing just fine.
Yeah, you are doing just fine.
I'm doing just fine.
Yeah, he is.
But he was taking a shot. Why?
No, I mean I've
why,
got
though.
Say it.
You got Gatorade Player of the Year?
No, I got robbed of that. Actually.
Oh well, you don't have it, so you, it
I got
matter.
Robbed.
I mean, something tells me you got it.
I have one of those.
Anytime Gatorade of, Player.
How many
of the
yards
year?
You have rushing?
Yeah,
20. Oh, no, sorry. 1,250 or something like that?
Buddy, I had 2,200 receiving yards my senior year, and I didn't win it.
Yeah, well, that's not my fault.
Yeah, 2,200
yards. I played defense, too.
Yeah.
Defense, too? Both ways?
Right.
Yeah, Massachusetts.
First time we went to the state championship in 35 years.
All-state offensive player of the year.
Are you inducted to your high school Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I am.
Well, I get inducted next week.
You got inducted already, didn't you?
No, that was my jersey retired.
Oh, jersey
How
retired.
How many ceremonies are you going to have for you? I thought that
a
was
lot.
The...
Me and Skylar Diggins next Saturday.
Sky Diggins.
Pretty cool.
I mean, I've got a whole box full of stuff. We can bring it in. We can.
I'd like to compare achievements to see who accomplished more in their careers between you and
Sherm. I actually have combine clothes, too.
I wasn't good enough.
You didn't get okay.
How about that? How about if Kansas plays UConn and UConn wins, Nate has to wear your combine clothes.
Oh, yeah, the drive
and
kit.
And he has to
go out and run some of the drills.
We should. Actually, we were just talking about this the other day. We should. I've got a decent setup. Marco had the idea. We should do a studio combine test, and we'll broadcast it live.
Yeah, Nate fancies himself an athlete still, so he'd test him.
Yeah.
See what limits he could reach.
Yeah, I think we need to do one.
While wearing your...
I might be having knee surgery before this.
Good excuse.
No. Buddy.
Yeah, we'll put Marco out there, that's all. All right.
Hey, after the knee surgery, I'm game. I kick Marco's ass and all that
stuff. Oh, hey.
God. Things got rough there. So why did he just drag you into it?
I don't know, because he likes to brag. I don't...
See, did he forget that you have the ability to just hang up on him?
Right.
And not answer the phone when he wants to call in?
Sometimes Nate does that on his own, so he needs too much help. And okay, so finally, we're going to put you on the record. Now you got people on Twitter buzzing about this. Do you predict the Chiefs are either going to acquire DeAndre Hopkins or Odell Beckham Jr.?
Betting man, I'm going Odell because they don't have to do any trades.
But you think they're going to get one of them? You're pretty sure?
I feel like they have to.
And you don't have any inside information suggesting that?
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, good.
How trustworthy of a source is he, you think?
I think he's better than all of us.
Okay.
With his
So when he's saying something about these receivers, maybe we ought to listen.
Yeah, I think he has an understanding of what some people in the building want and would like to see happen, more so than the rest of us. So I think we could see a big-name receiver come to the Chiefs within the next couple weeks.
Just look at the flight logs, man. I think I saw some flights coming from L.A. So.
Don't start this. Wasn't he in Arizona? Now he's back in L.A.?
Odell?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Odell's all over the place.
Somewhere. Right? If anywhere from the West Coast coming to Kansas City, you might want to check those flight logs.
And you'd rather have him than D-Hop?
Yes.
I know the trip, but is a
Yeah.
Remove the trade as a player right now.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's got more of an upside than D-Hop. I think D-Hop's... I don't think D-Hop's fallen off all the way yet, but he's towards the end of his career. I think Odell still has about 2 or 3 years of really good football.
And what do you expect Odell to do for the Chiefs? Meaning, like, what is his role?
He would be the number one receiver.
But what routes would he run?
Every
route?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you had your underneath guys, your over-the-top guys.
He'd be a Tyreek.
He's fast enough to be Tyreek?
No, not fast enough, but he'd run all the same routes that Tyreek got to run, which was... a lot of fun routes. Okay. I think his creativeness at the top of routes and in routes will make up for that speed difference between him and Tyreek and really have a successful run if he comes here.
All right.
All right, fellas. That's Gary Dieter, And Anthony Sherman, do you know when you're on again? When can we listen to?
It's
Tuesdays at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock.
Do we have a name yet, or is it
totally offensive?
See, that was good. That's a good one. I like that.
Wait, you haven't listened to our show the past 2 weeks?
No, I said, when are you on again?
Nate, don't even start there, buddy. Don't even start. You know, I went down to the Big 12 to hang out with you guys, and you weren't nowhere to be found.
Right.
And
that's,
you know, Marco's
exactly right
there, and yeah. Steven. We had the Pretzel Boys pretzel eating contest up there.
Did you see that? You see those pictures of this guy on stage?
No, I didn't.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, you see? Well,
he needs to reactivate his Instagram. Quick story, though, before we go. This was the year of COVID or the year before COVID, maybe year after COVID. I saw that picture.
Really,
Sherm, it was funny. Sherm thought
Sherm
he could.
Right there on the stage.
You were eating or just judging?
No, judging.
Judge, make sure there's all legal.
Oh, okay.
With this pretzel eating
contest. That's fair. I remember Sherm thought he was like super old school and he could get rid of his iPhone. So he brought out. He brought this like military box phone to workouts one day and like got rid of his iPhone. And he's like, come on, guys, like this thing, they can't break. Like anybody can throw it. This dude, Kelsey, grabs Sherm's block phone, throws it 50 yards.
At least 50 to 60 yards.
Throws
in the
it
air.
And it was perfectly fine. And then Sherm walks in like 2 days later with an iPhone.
Yeah, they get you because you can't get pictures of your kids, videos. You know, you want to see that stuff as a dad when you're on the road.
Silver spoon, buddy.
Yeah, take the pictures.
Well, you want to see your kids, you know, succeed and do
in
well in sports. And well, when you weren't in at the games because you were on the road for the Chiefs.
So why don't you get your block phone now?
Yeah, I could.
No, you can't.
I still have it.
You're a millennial.
That's Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman. Back after this on WHB.